The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Wednesdays are for pro wrestling, which of course means another edition of Pro Wrestling Unscripted right here on the Podzilla 1985 network. I am your host for the evening. I am, of course, the five-star man, Asa Gray. And joining me at this time is the Big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo!
And not a huge week in news, but some meaty stories. I feel like there's some stuff we can get into here. Also, we're going to talk about the question of the day that I posed to everybody last week. I got a little treat for Dalton in store that he doesn't know about.
I like treats. Wait, oh, is this a treat? Is it a treat I'm gonna like?
Oh yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's gonna put a smile on your face. Oh, I'm bleeding a lot.
Ooh, you're okay. Bleeding?
Yeah.
Do you color, brother?
The hard way. Psoriasis is,
It
makes me the itchy, and sometimes it scabs over, and if I break it, then, yeah, so... I got a Taco Bell napkin underneath here. Make sure it doesn't stain this beautiful New Day blanket.
You are the oldest chair, but... young person I know.
Dude, it
sucks. Because, like, I have bad hips and stuff, and, like, my lower back sucks.
But wrestle.
But there's a reason for my shit to suck.
Yeah, I don't. Mine is just, my DNA is just like, I'm done with this. We're not going to produce a certain chemical to make your skin not suck.
I had a moment where I realized that I was old last Thursday at Stride. I took a move and my neck popped like super hard before I even hit the ground. So I wanted to get mad about it, but I was like, I mean, yeah, but it also could just be me throwing myself on the ground really fucking hard that could have made my neck pop at the same time. Cause I was like, you pulled my hair too hard, but at the same time, I'm like, or I'm just getting old. And like,
I mean, you're just soft.
Yeah.
My shit's just breaking. So. We talked last week, but we talked last week about the releases from NXT and the Performance Center, including Jake Wirtz, the other referee, I believe his name was Jake. I'm completely blanking on it. And I feel terrible. Handful of other people were released out of NXT. Well, then the following day, another big announcement coming from an NXT release, Velveteen Dream has been released from NXT and WWE. And this is the weirdest part of it because they don't really give a reason. I thought it was kind of odd that they didn't include him in the initial round of releases. The fact that Wirtz, who has a history of, you know, and there were reports coming out of him having a ton of heat with a ton of people, pretty much all the way up and down the ladder of backstage to performers to management. So, but like, they didn't really give a reason why any of these people were released. Like, some of the other people could have been released for budget reasons, which is a, you know, bullshit reason. Like, apparently that's what Alexander Wolf was told, was it was budget, even though, again,
record profits,
but okay. But they didn't say, like, exactly why. And it's odd that this one was separate as well.
Yeah.
So, but to me, the more interesting part of this story, and the part that's kind of more, not questionable, but, like, why wait, is he finally put out a public, Dream, that is, Patrick Clark, finally put out a public statement defending himself against the allegations of him grooming and sending sexually explicit messages to underage boys.
Yeah.
And part of his explanation and defense, because it was, you can find it on his Instagram, he posted it, I think, on his Instagram stories, so it may not be on his profile anymore, but if you just look, you can Google his name, and there will be plenty of screen grabs from whatever wrestling news website you choose to visit. I'm sure you could even find it on Reddit if you just, you know, looked there.
It's real easy to find.
Did you read what he posted?
Yeah. So it was real weird.
The weirdest part was basically he defended himself. He said that no, he did not exchange any explicit or sexual messages to either of his accusers, that one of them was he had a private photo of him stolen that was then used without his permission or knowledge. And one of them was someone who was trying to like get advice from him. So he was trying to mentor him and give him advice all he could. And then for whatever reason, they decided that to launch this attack on him because he quit giving advice, because the person ended up like they wanted to do a show while they had a concussion. And he said that was a bad idea. And so he didn't want to help them anymore because they ignored that advice. And then they were mad at him for not continuing to assist them. But the part that makes no sense to me is the reason that he's only just now putting forward this statement is because he was so protective of the Velveteen Dream character. He didn't want the character to be like, he wanted people to not understand that, you know, he wanted it to be Velveteen Dream. It kind of gave me the feeling of like The Undertaker, where yeah. anything he does in kayfabe. And he does as the Dream. So if he puts out this statement, the Dream wouldn't defend himself against pedophilia accusations, I guess. I don't know. That makes no sense to me. The other part of it is like when you go back and you look at the number of times that like Triple H or anyone at NXT made a statement about it, they never really like, I don't know. It's weird because they talk about like, well, we've done this investigation or, you know, blah, 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 but he's not being off TV because of the investigation. It was because he was in a car wreck. And so you would think that like if these, because he doesn't provide like screenshots or like proof, quote unquote, but like what he says to defend himself makes a lot of sense. And if he would have said all of this a year ago, one, yeah. I don't think there's a single person on the planet that would think, oh, well, even if none of this is true, let's say he is a victim of a targeted campaign to make him look like something he is not. Not a single person would be like, oh, but you know what? He really shouldn't have responded to those as out of character, so I'm not going to support him anymore. I don't believe this character anymore. No one would have that reaction. And two, you would think that like WWE, if they had found something that concrete that, you know, there had been no evidence of wrongdoing, they believe him and they're going to back them, you would think they would be more steadfast and more straightforward in saying so, instead yeah. of just not wanting to talk about it, not wanting to comment, just, you know, the bare minimum of we are conducting an investigation. Like, you would think they would want to, and again, maybe it's legal, maybe they couldn't give those details, maybe a yeah. lawyer was advising them to not do that. It's just, it's really, really odd.
Yeah, so we have Michaela on the chat saying that she doesn't believe him at all, which is kind of where I stand on this. And then we have Stephen James, who brought something up, but I feel like isn't, it's a good point, but I don't think that's what it is. Which he said, maybe he couldn't speak on it while he was under contract or told him not to. I don't believe him, mind you. Just a possibility. I think that's also a thing that they could have said, like, hey, keep your mouth shut. But at the same time, Riddle spoke out against his accuser whenever that happened. Like, he made, yeah, like...
He straight up called her crazy.
Yeah, like, so you have that happen. Riddle even had a lawyer speak out about it during that. Like, you had... A lot of the guys that ended up getting fired during the speaking out movement last year, they all spoke out about it while still under contract. Like, it's, I get what he's saying. I get what Steven is saying in the chat. I'm not disagreeing with him, but it's one of those, we have precedent of that not being the case. And the, I didn't want to speak against my accusers because I was in that Velveteen Dream character is hands down the dumbest fucking thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Because... Again, it's like what you just said. If I guess the Velveteen Dream isn't against pedophilia. But I want you to know right now, if I was in WWE and I was some outlandish character and somebody accused me of some shit that wasn't true, you bet your sweet ass, Dalton Bleep, because I'm not even going to use the middle name on this one. I'm going to make a statement saying that's not even remotely true and this is why. Because like you said, he gave some really good reasoning. Like, because... The one thing, the best, like, explain away that he did in that whole thing was whenever the person said, well, I have his voice on recording.
Right.
And he was just like, well, the person that I was messaging didn't believe it was me, so I recorded a thing responding to it. And I wanted, like, which is a good explain away. I'm not saying it makes sense or it's correct. I'm saying it's a good explain away. What I'm getting at with that is, you're fucking Velveteen Dream. If they don't want to believe it's you, you know what you can do?
Stop responding.
It's very easy. It's one of those things that, like...
Especially when your profile has that check mark.
Yeah. Like,
if I get a message from Trish_Stratus_0069 that says, hey, this is actually my real account. This is my secret account. I'm in love with you. Please send me $500 in iTunes gift cards. More than likely, I'm going to think, you know what? I don't think this is real. Why can't she just message me herself on Main?
Can I tell you my favorite episode of Catfish that is kind of like that? A chick deadass believed that she was talking to Chris Brown. Like, believed it was Chris Brown. Anyway, sorry. Just you saying that. Yeah, I know. I was like, all right, cool. Michaela, Matt Riddle has an accuser. It's one of those things that WWE has explained away really hard because he, like, actually got a... Well,
WWE's done nothing. He's changed his story like three... He's changed his story like three or four times. Including just saying, oh, she's crazy. Oh, she's been stalking me. We fear for ourselves. And then she's just like, really? Because this time you said I'm stalking you, here's photos of us at events being like all up on each other.
And it could also help that he was the only one that got a lawyer. And again, I'm not saying that you're wrong or that chick is wrong. I'm saying he was intelligent about it and got a lawyer. And that's why...
The only intelligent thing he did was get a lawyer. You know,
that I didn't say that he was intelligent for anything else, Ace. I said the one intelligent thing he did was get a lawyer. Those were the exact words I used. In terms of a explanation, it was pretty solid until you really start to think about it. Because again, there's so much of it. Like in that, and that's why like that first thing was why I discredited everything. Was because how ridiculous the whole, well, I had to send him a clip of my voice because he didn't believe it was me. The second he said that, I was done. I was like, I don't trust even a remote thing you say.
Yeah, that's a suspect at best.
Yeah.
Explanation. Also, like, because even, you know, the whole thing is just that one little clip was, you know, the damning quote-unquote evidence was, what school do you go to? And... I'm not defending him because I don't know enough about the situation to really make a ruling. I tend to believe accusers, victims, I should say. And there's that the leaked nude and stuff like that. Like, the school thing is weird because, like, you and I both know people who say, oh, I go to school at SEMO. Which is a college, you know, or what wrestling school, you know, oh, I'm training to be a wrestler. Oh, what school do you go to?
Yeah. Which that's very common.
Yeah. So like that I don't think is the slam dunk of evidence that's out there. Also, there was the revelation because like one of the accusers deleted pretty much all of their social medias because it turns out they were in a group of like a Facebook group or a Twitter group or something called Exposing N-Words.
Whoa.
Which, yeah. So they were in like this super toxic racist ass group. But again, you can be a racist, terrible human being and still have something terrible done to you.
Yeah.
You can be a racist piece of shit, garbage motherfucker. And still, you know, have someone try to groom you. Like, those things aren't necessarily mutually exclusive. Is it possible that someone in this group had ill intentions about, you know, potentially a future face of the company and they wanted to derail their career? It's possible. I don't know if I necessarily buy it, though. I think there's too much shadiness between Velveteen Dream's reaction. I think there's too much shadiness around WWE's reaction. That it's not that, you know, there might have been something going on. Now, granted, we don't know, you know, no one knows. The only person that truly knows are the three people involved.
Yeah.
And that's what sucks. But I do think it's important that victims are listened to and believed. And just, man, that idea of, I wouldn't defend myself, I wouldn't make a statement like this because I was protecting my wrestling character, that holds no water.
Yeah, there's that, between that and the I had to send, and I'm sorry I'm going back to it, the I had to send an audio clip so they knew it was me. Brother, you know better. You know better. You know you were probably up to some shady shit. Like,
yeah, between those and then like the hesitancy for WWE to even really acknowledge it past like, we're aware of allegations, there's an investigation going on. You know, they should have come out and like front and center and been like, hey, this person on our roster was accused of something horrible. We have conducted interviews, we have conducted an investigation, and we have determined that these accusations are false. These accusations are false. This is a targeted smear campaign against one of the members of our roster.
Yeah, yeah.
But they didn't do that. They didn't put that stance down. So, you know, if you can't go against accusations, especially of this nature, half-hearted. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. So,
because like any, and it's super important to note that any of these situations involved are horrible. To any of the people last year with the speaking out movement that got outed for being bad pieces, like horrible pieces of shit, it's mm-hmm. substantially worse when kids are involved. Like, and like,
yeah.
If you're listening to this and you're like, well, they were like 16, go fuck yourself. They are kids involved. If they're not allowed to vote, it's bad. I'm just going to say it that way. If they can't vote and this is happening to them, it is substantially worse. And none of it's good. But like the second you get a child involved, and again, my opinion, if you can't vote, you're a child. That's a good cutoff for me, because it's the mm-hmm. government cutoff. So I think we're all playing under the same guidelines here. I don't even like the weird ages of consent in some states. If you can vote, you're good.
Right.
But yeah, the second kids are involved, it makes it 10 times worse. And the fact that like he was quiet on it when he probably shouldn't have been. Man,
oh, there's no probably. He should not have been quiet. Which again, I understand. You have to protect yourself from a legal standpoint. You can't just willy nilly just throw out like, nope, they're lying. This is bullshit. Like, you do need to build up a defense, but you need to make at least some sort of statement. Which he did. He put out like a, I would never do this. This is not a thing. You know, I can assure you, I've never engaged in any sort of illicit activity with a minor or something like that. But like, man, once that investigation has been finalized and you have been cleared, you have got to like, you've got to really hammer that point home, because we've seen so many people not get the justice that they deserve. Anytime there's this level of doubt, he's screwed.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's not a good thing. You know, because there are false accusations that are made and people do get wrongly accused of things that they didn't have anything to do with and had no part of it. And that does suck. But it sucks so much more when there are thousands, hundreds of people who get victimized and hurt and get no sort of justice. They have to watch, especially in a situation where it's someone famous and they have to watch the person who did this to them, you know, excel and succeed and, you know, get cheered by, you know, hundreds and thousands of people. Yeah. So it's a shitty situation all around.
One lawyer could have fixed this whole situation for him. One lawyer.
And the thing is, it wouldn't have been one lawyer. It'd have been a team of lawyers. It'd have been a law firm. It'd been like,
it'd have been the whole ass firm. But like, if he's truly innocent, defending your wrestling character is very, I'm not even going to say it's secondary. It's like 34th-edary for me. There's like a list of things that I would rather get done before I'm worried about my wrestling character. Because at the end of the day, I would much rather not be a WWE, like if there was a trade-off, like one or the other, I'd rather not be a child groomer than be a WWE superstar. I'm not going to put that one in front of that one. It's not how it works.
Right.
I would much rather not be the other person. So like, what's the worst that could have happened? The worst could have happened is he could have hired a lawyer and then he still found out to be guilty. That would have sucked for him. But you get a lawyer, they make a statement, and WWE's like, we don't like that. We're done with you. That's a wrongful termination like suit at that point. You got so many areas of ground where you could have, really? No?
Not when you're an independent contractor.
Oh shit, you're right. Damn it.
He ain't an employee. He has no leg to stand on. Plus, Fair enough. Think depending on what state WWE like operates out of, Like, even though they're filming in Florida, like, if it's a Connecticut-based company.
Connecticut, yeah, yeah.
If Connecticut is an at-will employer, like, I could show up to work tomorrow, and you could show up to, well, not you necessarily, because you have, like, an actual contract, but, like, yeah. I could show up to work tomorrow, and they'd just be like, hey, you're fired. Why? We don't want, because at-will state, I don't really have to give you a reason.
I just got the contract that says they can't do that to me.
Yeah, so...
Sorry.
So good for you.
But common sense...
But for an independent contractor, like, he has no leg to stand on for...
Fair enough. So let me go back to my initial point. I'd have much rather have been the child groomer label taken off of me at the fucking start. I'd have been like, and here's my lawyer to explain why this is bullshit. But he never did that. He didn't even explain why it was bullshit. Until after the fact. Yeah. So, like, even let's say he's completely correct and, like, he didn't do any of this horrible stuff he's getting accused of. Motherfucker, you had a year and some change to expel, to take all of this out of the situation. Yeah. And, Steven, that's what we're talking about, because we would think it's Florida because it's out of NXT, but WWE is owned and operated in, or not operated, but owned in Connecticut.
Yeah, the home offices are in Stamford, Connecticut. So it could be.
And it's, yeah, so it's one of those that it just kind of depends on what the situation is. But yeah, or, no.
Also, just real quick, because America and capitalism is a broken mess wherever.
You can sue anybody in any state.
Well, that, but what I'm talking about is WWE's main offices could be in Connecticut, but the way that they set up their, like, corporate holdings, they could be based out of whatever state they want.
Yup.
They were, I remember, this is something that's always popped out to me is, like, kind of funny, that podcast that I'm obsessed with.
Yeah.
They talk about, like, when they initially founded, when they left IGN and set up the actual company, they had to discuss what state they wanted to be based out of. Because even though they all live in California, they're going to be working out of California, everything's going to be done in California. If they did it, if they said that they were based out of, like, Delaware or something, they would have gotten these certain tax breaks.
Yep.
So WWE very well could be saying, you know, oh yeah, no, we're based out of, you know, Wyoming, even though they haven't run a show in Wyoming in 3 years or whatever. So
yeah.
But so yeah, it's a shitty situation all around. But Velveteen Dream, you know, it's always that, you know, when are they going to use him? Because they try to put him on air.
Because he
was in that backlot brawl with Adam Cole, taken off of air after that. Then he came back a couple months later because the backlot brawl was, like, the last thing he did, and then it immediately hit. And then they tried to bring him back a couple months later. The crowd was having none of it, and then it was the car wreck. That is what apparently took him off TV at that point, allegedly, is that's the story that WWE gives. So
yeah, yeah.
But he's no longer a part of WWE. He's no longer a part of NXT. Hopefully the actual truth comes out about what is going on, whether he is, you know, if it is revealed that he is 100% innocent, you know, bring him back. You know, if he is a victim here of, you know, being, having these lies told about him and his name run through the mode, then yeah, you know, then the door opens back to, okay, well, you know, bring him back. And, or if it's found out that he is guilty of this, throw him in jail.
Yeah. Cause like, he's like,
those are the two ideal options.
He is an amazing talent, but at the end of the day, I don't care how good of a talent you are. Being a better person is kind of paramount in this situation. I mean, in most situations it's paramount,
especially when there's kids involved. Like, that's the,
yeah. It's the whole thing of, like, I don't want this happening to anybody. It's gross. It's, like, the aspect of grooming is disgusting in and of itself. But like I was saying earlier, the second you get a kid involved, man, it makes it 20 times worse, in my opinion. Just because, like, you should fucking know better. Like, that's the only way I can say it, is that you should know better. We should all know better. Because I'm not going to explain it.
It's obvious, shouldn't have to be explained, so... But that's that story. You know, if there is more news that comes up about it, you know, we'll keep you updated on there, just because I do think this is an important story to follow. And it is important that the actual truth does come out eventually, which hopefully we will get answers. But who knows at this point, honestly. Another release, although this one was apparently mutual. Adnan and Virk and WWE have mutually agreed to... end their working relationship with each other. Virk was he got brought on to be the Raw color cup or play-by-play commentator. He was at the table for 7 weeks, I believe.
It was only six or seven. Yeah, yeah.
So look out for his podcast with Conrad Thompson, 7 weeks to hit that network. And then,
good news, he hasn't started a new podcast this week, so I don't have to tell you about it.
And his seat's not even cold yet, and they have announced that Jimmy Smith from Bellator is going to join the Raw team as a new play-by-play person. I don't know any, I don't watch Bellator, I don't watch MMA, so I don't know who, I'm not familiar with this guy's work. Someone was trying to like bury him on Twitter already because back in like 2019, he tweeted out something about like how he hasn't watched wrestling since he was a kid. And then every time someone tries to like bring that up, there's like three other people in the comment section saying like, you do know he's already done NXT pre-shows and stuff, and he's actually like pretty knowledgeable and pretty good. So hopefully he's a better fit. It still blows my mind though that they're pulling these people from other sports and putting them on your flagship show with no buffer. Like, granted, I know, like, what did Phillips do? Like, whose bag did he crap in to, like, which I know there was the whole, like, his text got leaked, so I bet.
But
I
that was, he, that was years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, so is it, like, are people still punishing, is he still, like, not wanting, I don't, it's all weird, but hopefully he's a better fit. I think people were unnecessarily harsh to Verk. I don't think that he necessarily took to it. I think that, but he tried, he gave an effort. I can say firsthand that doing commentary is harder than it looks. Yeah. You know, it's
like WWE commentary where you have insert name here yelling in your goddamn ear the whole time. Like, right. Whenever we did commentary, that like I'm not good at commentary. We established that over the course of the first year of CCW's tapings, is I am not good at it. If you had somebody yelling in my ear while doing it, I would be substantially worse at it.
Mm-hmm. Someone put it pretty well of just like, he didn't get the flow of a pro wrestling match very well. He would underreact to big moves. He would way overreact to smaller moves, like smaller moments in the match. So the pacing of a match was kind of off, and he never really grasped that, which I think is a fair criticism. But it's people who are like, oh, this dude sucks. Immediately get off. It's like, no, you got to give him a chance. But also, yeah, maybe don't just put someone who isn't involved in the wrestling business and put them on your main show in front of millions of people and just be like, okay, good luck.
Or
sink or swim.
Train them properly. There's a couple of different things you can do, because like, you know, somebody that doesn't really need to like figure it out, but's really good at it. Pat McAfee. Also has an amazing understanding on how wrestling works.
Right, because he's a huge fan of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Verk isn't necessarily a fan of it, but he just, like, McAfee has wrestled a match. He's wrestled a couple matches. He's been in a fucking War Games match.
Yeah.
There's a dozen people who can say they have been in a War Games match.
And former Colts punter, a.k.a. my favorite person ever, fucking did one. But no, like, there's so many things you can do to train somebody like this, but he might not have enjoyed it. That's the number one thing of it's mutually exclusive. Like, it was a mutual separation. That tells me that he was like, hey, this ain't working for me, dog. Or somebody came up and said, hey, you need to do this differently. And he was like, I've never had to do that before. And then it became a thing like that. And Maisie broke into the room.
I saw the door open a while back.
Yeah, so yeah, there's my cat.
Shockingly, the body bag of
blankets. Yes, it was blankets. Don't say body bag. That sounds bad.
It didn't completely keep the door shut. Breaking news here on PWU tonight.
But there's so many things that, and it being mutually agreeing of the separation, that tells me that it was like, either somebody said something to him that he didn't like, and he was like, this ain't working for me. And along with, he could just be like, I don't like this. This isn't fun for me.
WWE recognized that he wasn't progressing like they might have hoped. He wasn't like a natural at it. And he also probably, and he's a professional. He's a professional broadcaster. as a professional, you can look at your own performance and understand, like, okay, this isn't this isn't within my skill set. I am not doing great at this. And it is, so it's entirely possible that, you know, he approached them or they approached him, you know, either way makes sense and could be possible. Yeah. So, but I'm sure he'll go back to ESPN because the little bit that I've seen of him on ESPN, like, he's good. He's a good presenter.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we'll see how Jimmy Smith does. Like I said, I'm personally unfamiliar with him, but judging by the reaction on the internet, it seems like he might be a better fit off the bat. So, you know,
MMA guys have a very good reputation of being professional wrestling broadcasters, because one of the best wrestling broadcasters we have going started in MMA. And that's what, can't think of his name. How did I forget it? I literally was making a point and I forgot it. NXT.
Byron Saxon, Corey Graves.
No. He was in NXT. Why can't I think? Mamma Mia. What is his name?
Mauro Ranallo.
Thank you. Oh my God. That was getting annoying.
I was like, I don't know who. I thought you were talking about someone current.
No. But no, Mauro was amazing at wrestling commentary, and he started in, not started, but he got his fame from Pride Fighting Championship in Japan with Boss Rudin. And to this day, that is one of my favorite broadcast teams in any sport I've ever gotten.
Ranallo and Rudin.
Oh, it was so much fun because they were both so high energy and it made everything fun. And then they put him on NXT, and yeah, he got a little tiresome sometimes, but it's because the dude was high energy for every match. But he was fun. He made me care. And that's something that you really need to do if you're going to be doing this. That's why Corey Graves and Pat McAfee get over so well. It's because they are fun to listen to.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, and it's also, to be fair, McAfee and Graves both are doing color.
Yeah, well, you got to do play-by-play.
It's a lot easier to be fun when you're doing color commentary than when you're doing play-by-play.
Tell Jerry Lawler that.
Which is what Lawler doesn't do. That's bait. I'm not taking it. No.
Good job.
Phew, I almost said something real bad there. Well,
I know you did. I know you did, and that's why I was just like, oh, did I get him?
And even more releases, because of course. But WWE has released several behind the scenes and corporate level employees. It seems that a lot of their digital workforce was let go, as that is slowly being consolidated into the actual television departments. So like their digital department and their television department are being cut down and merged together. And apparently this is due to the network coming to an end. Now that it's moved off of Peacock, they don't have to have as much of a team responsible for doing the online stuff, because Peacock is handling some of that. NBC is handling some of that.
Which if that's the case, that is the most foolproof firing that they have done in a while. That is a way better answer than budget cuts.
Yeah, but it still sucks.
I mean, no, it sucks. Like, I'm not saying, I'm not happy that people are losing their job. I'm just saying, if they came to somebody and said, hey, your position really isn't useful here anymore because we're not running our own streaming service. Like, it sucks, but I get it.
Because they're they still are going to do, like, they still have to, are going to put, you know, instead of it being network exclusive content, it's going to be Peacock exclusive content. Yeah. Xavier Woods tweeted out that apparently one of the people let go was like very, very integral. I don't know that word. My brain has
you.
Off.
You're there.
One of the two is right. I'm pretty sure. I'm glad Hunter doesn't listen to these shows, because I would get that message. One of those people who was fundamental to the founding of Up Up Down Down was let go. You know, if this guy wasn't there at this time, we wouldn't have Up Up Down Down. So it's. It's easy. We've said this before, because we've talked about previous rounds of releases at the corporate level and in like backstage. It's so easy to forget that there are literally, I would probably assume, thousands of people that work for WWE. You know, we might be familiar with 80 of them, because of the, you know, that's who we see on television, or, you know, you hear the stories of, you know, the producers, and I'm blanking on the production director that everybody hates. Bucky Beaver motherfucker.
Oh God. Now that you said that, I can't think of his name either. But it's going to hit my head. It really is.
We're going to move on to it. But, you know, people like that who, you know, you hear about, but there's countless camera people, office workers, online content, website content, stuff like that. So it's just, it sucks. You never want to see someone lose your job. So hopefully they land on their feet. Hopefully they find something new. Are you still laughing? Because it's broken your brain.
Here, I just hear Jim Cornette saying that buck tooth. I can't help it. It's so messed up. It's not something you should ever laugh at somebody for.
Kevin Dunn.
God damn it.
I had to look it up. Yeah. The Bucky Beaver motherfucker. How pissed is he that like that's what he's known for is the Jim Cornette line.
I mean, it's better than some of them.
I mean, you're not wrong. So, but it sucks that, you know, these people are losing their jobs thoughts with them. So, in one silver lining of news that we got, we talked about Jessamyn Duke was one of the names that was released from NXT last week. She has since confirmed that she is still working with Up, Up, Down, Down, and that the BRE start will continue as normal, which is great news. It was a couple months ago. I don't remember if we talked about it on the show or not, but she had mentioned, like, it came out that she was no longer actively wrestling. She had moved to being a full-time content producer for Up, Up, Down, Down for WWE. And so it seems that it sounds like her NXT contract was canceled out, and now she's just working full-time as an Up, Up, Down, Down producer. Yeah. Which is good, because one, she's great on that show. Like, I know you don't watch a ton of Up, Up, Down, Down stuff, but like, I watch a ton of it. Cody, I know, watches a ton of it. She's been a great addition. The whole BRE start has been a fantastic third brand of the Up, Up, Down, Down, because you have Up, Up, Down, Down, which is Austin Creed and The Miz and Baron Corbin and a handful of other people. Then you have Left, Right, Left, Right, which is Tyler Breeze, Adam Cole, Cesaro, Dio Madden, I'm pretty sure. Who is Tegan Nox, I think, is the mm-hmm. other one that typically does stuff when they do their specials. And then you have BRE Start, which is Best Roommates Ever, which is Jessamyn Duke, Dakota Kai, Shayna Baszler, and Mia Yim. So I'm a big fan of the stuff that they do. I think it's a lot of fun, and I'm very, very happy that, because like, man, whenever these releases happen and like, I get legitimately bummed that like, well, one, I'm always sad when someone loses their job. That sucks. Two, of course, I'm going to miss seeing them on, you know, WWE TV. But like, when Samoa Joe got cut and like, oh, I'm not going to get to see Joey Headrocker anymore. Blessed be the power game. Like, that's just not going to be a thing anymore. That friggin' sucks.
Yeah.
You know, the cuts last year, there was a ton of people that he used regularly on Up, Up, Down, Down that we're not going to get anymore. So, it's good that this one is not going to actually affect that, because they just brought in BRE Start just like 6 months ago as like a major deal. And if they lost her, then, oh man, that would really, really suck.
But it's good that she gets to keep doing it.
Yeah, that's great news. I'm very, very happy about that. Next story is, we talked about AEW announced their touring schedule for in July, and WWE has now announced they are also returning to doing live shows. They are also going in the Texas area. I did not get the dates down, but if you're curious, you can look that up. That's been posted all over. The biggest takeaway to me, though, was, so they put this big post up on Twitter, and it, you know, WWE coming at you live, we're hitting the road again, we're coming back to live shows. Xavier Woods retweeting it and saying, oh, good to know.
Oh, that's dirty.
They will never fire him, because they can't, because apparently whoever's in charge of the talking to the talent does not have his number. Because do you remember when they brought back Raw Talk and he was the host, and they did not tell him that he was the host? So The Miz was the host of the first Raw Talk when they brought that back? Because I do. And now it's good to know that touring is happening again. They just actually today announced more dates as well. The closest one to us is Kansas City. But yeah, I don't know when that's going to be. So
yeah.
So yeah, Chet, if you're, I think, I want to say, I'm not even gonna guess because I don't want to be like that wrong. I just remember for sure it was like, and it's even the same, like the 2 weeks that AEW is going to be in Texas, WWE is also going to be in Texas, which
must
granted
be nice.
Texas is like the biggest state in the world. Like it's way too big. There's no, like 80% of Texas is just unnecessary. It's all dirt and Ted Cruz land. Like, no, we don't. It's unnecessary.
If we could keep Dallas and Austin, but then get rid of... Wait a minute. Ciro's is out of Dallas, yeah?
I'm not sure.
All right, Dallas...
I mean, obviously I'm not, obviously I'm not referring to Ciro.
He's in the 20%
Ciro's good
stay.
People. Yeah, he's in that... I'm just talking about, like, the wasteland of desert and highway that is a lot of that.
Can you believe... I'm going to tell a quick Texas story. Whenever I was in Texas 2 years ago... I think it was 2 years ago. It doesn't matter. Whenever I was in Texas last, which was the only time I was ever in Texas, it was like June, July time, and it got up to 105 degrees. We were in triple digits, and nobody batted an eye. And it was insane.
No, because they live in hell, and they're used to it. They are resigned to their fates.
I felt like Bobby Hill in that episode of fucking King of the Hill, where he's like, this is a testament to man's arrogance as I got out of the car. Because it was like, good AC, got out, and it was just, it hit you. I felt like I was in the trash compactor in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. It just closed in on you. It was everywhere. The heat was, omnipotent. It was everywhere. In every crack and crevice, there was heat. I hated it. I felt like X-Pac. There's another reference for you. X-Pac heat. Got it? Get it? Do you get it, Asa? I'm going to keep talking until you cut me off. So,
Will Ospreay has been forced to relinquish the New Japan Pro Wrestling World Championship due to a neck injury. I feel like that was just a ticking time bomb because protect your neck. Like, that has a different meaning. But, like, I feel like they really, like, Japanese wrestlers really, or people that wrestle in Japan, I should say, really need to adopt that phrase.
Well, Asa,
because I know, I'm not even going to let you get that joke out because you're stupid.
They for real do, though.
No, Kota Ibushi does because he's a psychopath. Kota Ibushi is the definition of a himbo, okay? He's beautiful, he's kind, he's dumb as hell. Like that, those are the three tenets of being a himbo, and he is the poster child. And I say that with love, but no, that is not a thing that is done regularly. That is one person who does that, and someone shared the clip of that German suplex that Naito hit on him, mm-hmm. And he like leaned his neck to get more of the apron to make it look like he killed himself. Like, why?
It's because Japanese wrestlers train their necks.
I'm going to chop you in the throat. I'm going to show up to CCW just so I can chop you in the throat. Like, I'm not going to say hi to anybody. I'm just going to be like, right in the jugular.
And that'll hurt me because
I'm just going to leave. And then I'm just going to leave.
And that's going to hurt me because I don't train my neck. So don't do it. It'll break me.
I'm going to shave your head. I'm going to go into your house and I'm going to shave your head. And I'm going to stuff that hair in your mouth. And I'm going to staple your mouth shut.
That's good because I don't train my lips either.
But it sucks that Ospreay was forced to relinquish. Someone on Reddit, I don't remember what they posted, but I had to actually like stifle a laugh at work because they... It was some comment along the lines of, like, you know the phrase, when you make plans, God laughs. God is just... apparently, God thinks Gato is the funniest motherfucker ever. And it's just like, oh, that's mean. But it's true, but it's mean. Because, like... But also, there's, like, people... apparently, there was a COVID outbreak within the New Japan locker room. They've had to cancel events because Japan was like re-cracking down because they don't have as much access to the vaccine. So COVID in general is still a very, very big deal in Japan. New Japan is having a rough time. I am still kind of leaking. I don't like having to refer to that as leaking.
That's disgusting.
It's just right out of my calf, man. It's gross. So it's a bummer. That sucks. I'm not sure. I don't think they've announced plans to crown a new champion yet, but hopefully he recovers quickly and thoroughly, because neck injuries are nothing to laugh at. This next story, I'm going to put you on the spot, because we know that AEW Double or Nothing, the preview, we're going to cover the preview for that here in just a little bit, but Jeremy Padawar from Jazzwares has announced that...
Padawar? Yeah.
I never know how to say it. It always... My brain sees those letters together and just, like, turns off, so thank you. Yeah. From Jazzwares, he announced that there will be new figures revealed at AEW Double or Nothing Fan Fest, which is going to be Saturday morning. So I'm going to be refreshing his Twitter like every 10 minutes until I see what it is. So we know that a typical AEW Unrivaled wave. Is that what they're called?
Yep.
I think so.
Unrivaled. You're right.
A typical Unrivaled wave is six figures. Dalton, this is not who you want. This is who do you think the six figure, like, assuming we get all six figures, assuming this is even an Unrivaled wave, because the way he's promoting this makes me think we're going to get the first look at this new line.
Unmatched.
The Unmatched line. Thank you. Who do you think will be in a six figure Unrivaled wave for wave five?
Seven.
Wave seven already.
Yeah. Cause we just, right? Wave six just got announced and pre-order went up. It's wave seven.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that wave. That wave made me sad.
Yeah. So
I've already blocked that one out of my head.
Wave 7 of AEW Unrivaled is going to be Christopher Daniels. It is going to be Trent Beretta. It is going to be this is my prediction, by the way. Please don't fucking say that this is.
Oh yeah, I think everybody's aware, like, this is we do not have inside information. This is just who Dalton thinks is due to have a figure and is going to be in this newest wave.
Yeah, I realized that you looked way too excited when I started saying names out there, and I was like, wait a minute, we definitely gotta rein this in.
I was just surprised that you said Trent Beretta, because there's no way of saying this without sounding shitty, and I really don't mean for it to sound shitty. The best friends I saw as an Unmatched.
Yeah, so you gotta, yeah, just time. So, but let me get there. Christopher Daniels, Trent. I said Trent Beretta. That's not right. Yep. Trent.
Trent.
Trent is it? Yeah. Trent isn't it just Trent? Question mark.
That's why. Yeah. That's why I said Trent.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cool. So those two. We are gonna get a Kenny Omega. We are gonna get Britt Baker. All right, never mind. We'll get there. And then we are going to get, I'm going to add Chuck T to that. That's going to be our tag team. Trent and Chuck are going to be our tag team in wave seven. Okay. And then, let me think. I got to add somebody. Brody Lee. And that'll be the big one out of seven.
So the reason I think you were very wrong on many of those is... I don't think they do a Brody Lee. I don't think we get a Brody Lee in the Unrivaled series. Okay. At least not his first one. I think his first one is going to be a standalone deluxe figure, or it'll be a Dark Order multi-pack.
It is super important to note that with almost every AEW wave, there has been a ringside exclusive figure coinciding with that wave.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I think we'll get more than one Brody Lee. I think more than one Brody Lee, because it's super important. Anytime they do an Unrivaled wave, they usually do a ringside with it. I think the only exception to that is wave two. We got one with four, five, and six.
You pay more attention to this, that makes sense. So
yeah,
like I believe you. I think that's
50% of the time.
This is so bad. This is why we need to be in person.
Yeah.
I believe you, and I think that makes sense. But I do think that the first Brody Lee figure is going to be a standalone, like, fundraiser type deal, and the proceeds will go to his family.
Yeah.
That's just what I feel like is probably going to happen. That just seems to make sense. Yeah. Other things that I think you are incorrect about is, I don't mean this in a discouraging or disparaging way. But I do think Best Friends are going to end up being a Unmatched wave.
Two-pack?
It could be a two-pack, absolutely. Or, like, that first Unmatched wave, I think Britt Baker also, she does not get an Unrivaled figure. She's going to be in that first wave of that secondary, that second wave of figures.
Yeah.
So I would, I'm trying to think. So the ones that I'm thinking that we get is, I think you're right about Kenny Omega. I think we get a Kenny Omega. I think we get a Cody. Because other than, we haven't got a Cody and an Unrivaled in two waves now, three waves.
Yeah.
We just got a Moxley. We just got an MJF. We just got another Hangman. He's the only one that really hasn't gotten another duplicate in a minute, even though he did just have the TNT special one come out.
Yeah. Which would have been with, that's the wave four exclusive. That's why I was saying that. About 50% okay. of the time we get a ringside exclusive because we got Bubbly Jericho. We got TNT Cody, and then we got the Jurassic Express. So we got them for 1, 4, and 5 out of six waves. And we don't know if we're getting a 6 exclusive yet. I could see that happening. But that's why I'm saying what I'm saying.
I think the tag team is going to be FTR.
I don't think they've been in the company long enough to... Really? I'm saying strictly based on action figure producer.
Turnaround production date.
The newest superstar that we've gotten in the Unrivaled line that they have signed is Matt Hardy. And that was a year ago. FTR didn't come in until 3 months later, 2 or 3 months later.
See, but I also think that the reason they rushed Matt Hardy is because it's Matt Hardy. I think they've probably had enough time to make these FTR figures.
Okay.
It's just like, I think that's going to be the tag team because we've gotten tag teams of all the other, we've gotten figures of all the other champions so far. Like we just got the SCU figures. So
yeah.
Who have I even said? I've already forgotten. Santana and Ortiz do have a figure, Michaela.
They're pretty legit. I just got mine in this week.
I remember. Okay. So Kenny, Cody, FTR, Wardlow.
Okay.
Because I think he's due for one. And maybe that's just me, you know, hopelessly. Actually, you know what? Take out Cody.
Okay.
Sammy Guevara. Replace that. He'll be a duplicate. Okay. I think he'll get a duplicate before.
Hopefully with a better head scan. Hopefully with a better head scan.
Oh, no. He just had a figure, though.
Wave 4. Nope.
This is wave 7. That's only... Oh, well, yeah. No, you're wrong. You're right. I'm just supposed to say you're wrong. That was a slip. No. Because you're trying to help me. And I'm just like, nope, I don't know. Swap out Cody with Sammy. And then who do I think is going to be the sixth one? It'll be a standalone person.
I mean, Marco's a safe bet.
See, I just...
But you also... I hope so. But you also didn't... Did you say Christopher Daniels in this
one? I did not say Christopher Daniels. I don't think it'll be... Oh, Nyla Rose.
I'd be real salty if I got a Nyla before Britt Baker.
But I think that's the point. I think they've turned that into a bit.
I get it, and it is funny on Twitter to see it, but as an action figure collector, I would like a Britt Baker figure. Because unfortunately, and I don't know if she can hear me right now, but it's the only women, like, because Sadie has our women's shelf.
Right.
Until they make more AEW women... and give me duplicates of them, all of the AEW women have been on the AEW shelf. I can't transfer them over yet because I don't have enough of them. The Sheeta coming out, and I know we've talked about Sheeta having an action figure, but I need to put over how cool this Sheeta figure is.
It looks really cool.
It looks amazing. Hopefully it looks as good whenever we get it, but man, it looks baller.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, you're fine. So I will say the ones that I... Oh, we spent way more time on that than I thought we did. My wave 7 dream wave would be Christopher Daniels, Marco Stunt, Brody Lee, Uno, Grayson, and...
Colt Cabana?
No, not another Dark Order, because I want Reynolds and Silver before I would want a Colt.
Oh, really?
And that's just me personally. Like, I want a Colt. Don't get me wrong. Like, I want a Colt Cabana.
But if you were putting one over the other.
Right. But I'm just kind of going in order of, like, Dark Order people. Tay Conti. Give me a Thunder Rosa. Give me a Nyla Rose. Like, you know, any of those three. I would like it to be a woman figure just because the roster has been... The AEW has done a better job of focusing on the women wrestlers. And I would like to see that translated to the figures as well.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of people that I would love to see get a figure. Like, I would love a Thunder Rosa. I would love a Tay Conti. I would love a Nyla Rose.
Yeah. So, and I'm going to say this as a, like, and I'm not being, I mean, this is just somebody, I've collected figures for almost 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
The women figures, well, I mean, figures they've done too. One didn't hit retail really, and the other one is peg warming anywhere there's AEW figures. That is, and I don't agree with it. I like the Riho figure a lot. I like it more than most because I love Riho. But that is such a bad indicator for Jazzwares, because they have to look at it on a standpoint of just like, we produce this many, this is how many are sold. So do we put as much energy in this women, or making these women figures, because they're not selling? Brandy is selling, but it's because they short boxed her. And by short boxed, that is a term used that, like, if there's a box of six, Brandy is in there less than everybody else. They didn't even short box her. They just didn't box her. So she had, like, she was the most expensive figure that wasn't a chase for the longest time. Now she's in the re-release. The skin tone's a little bit different. I mean, I'm not going to get it because I have the regular one. But their women figures have really suffered because they're not selling, because they're either not sending them out or they're, like, peg warming.
And it's a real bummer. I'm going to counter that. In that I think that even though Riho is the first women's AEW champion, that is the only reason her figure was the first women's figure behind Brandy. And I don't think that that is reflective of the general audience of who you list the, you list the, you know, if you were to ask, pull 5 AEW, or, you know, pull 100 AEW fans, AEW fans, not just regular wrestling fans,
yeah,
to give their top 5 women's wrestlers in AEW right now, I don't think Riho makes the list for more than 70% of them.
And that's
because
fair.
Because one, she's been off TV for so long. Two, like, the women's division when she was champion was at its absolute weakest. They were not focused on it. It was rough. So, you know, the only thing I can really think of was, like, Britt Baker has always been doing great. Rio wrestled Nyla Rose a handful of times. And outside of that, like, I don't remember anything about that time frame. It's only been within the last couple months when Thunder Rosa, Serena Deeb, Tay Conti really started to, like, which also, by the way, like, huge props to her, because, like, she was always okay in NXT. She was, you know, she wasn't anything truly special. Like, I liked her, but I also was just like, oh, no, she could be good. And then, she, like, to see what she's done, and, like, plus, you know, Anna Jay's gonna come back here in a few months.
My lord, so, and, like, savior, Chris Statlander's popping back
Chris
up on
Statlander's,
TV.
Yeah, so, like, the women's division now has been, and maybe this is, like, the not racist, sexist version of what Jim Cornette says. Maybe it's harder for the Joshi wrestlers to really impact, like, really grab a hold of the fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Because granted, like, obviously, Shida is amazing. I've become a huge fan of her. I'm super happy that we're getting a figure for her. But again, dollars to donuts, the only reason she's getting a figure is because she's been women's champion for what, a year?
It's been, yeah, pretty close.
Like, did she just hit a year? Or was it 100 days?
Well, how many women's champions have we had? It's only been 2, yeah? Or am I missing somebody? Because I know Riho and Shida.
Women's World Championship.
Nyla hasn't held it, has she?
No, she did. She beat, okay. Yeah, because she beat Riho.
And then
Shida, May 23rd at Double or Nothing, beat Nyla Rose. So okay. she just passed a year as champion. That's the only reason she's gotten a figure. Like, it blows my mind that it wasn't Nyla, because Nyla was champion. She held it for 100. So Riho had it for 133 days. Nyla had it for 101 days, and now, as of recording, Sheeta's at 368 days.
Yeah.
Could lose it on Sunday. Hey, speaking of Sunday.
Sunday.
Real quick, it's not fair because I did it, and then you need to do it. Shotgun, your ideal six-figure wave, AEW Unrivaled Series 7, go.
All right. Marco Stunt. Yes. Christopher Daniels.
Yes.
Trent, Chuck, then I want a two-pack. Or not a two-pack, but I want these two to be, like, together. I want MJF and Chris Jericho in their suits doing the musical.
That's not what an unrivaled wave is. You know you're not going to get that in an unrivaled wave. I gave you very specific instructions.
Did you ask me my dream wave? I said two-pack didn't mean it, and then I changed it. I said, no, these two figures just go together. It'd be like a tag team. You get two of these figures.
You said you wanted them boxed together. Anyway, moving
on. And then I changed it because I realized I was wrong.
Double or Nothing preview. That is this Saturday. This Sunday. Excuse me. I am very, very excited for the show. I'm going to be buying the show because I like AEW, and a lot of these matches sound really cool. I'm sorry. Sorry. My brain turned off.
I might be coming to your house.
I mean, I don't think that's going to work because I'm going to be watching it on my computer.
We'll be sharing a headset. Fair enough. Oh, that's right. Twitch. My bad.
Actually, well, I'm not going to do the thing on Twitch. I just, most of it, because I don't have the love seat or anything yet. So
yeah, that's right.
I have that rolling chair and this chair.
Well, if you want to come to Casa de Anthony.
Our house is not people ready yet because we are bad about unpacking. Anyway, this Sunday, May 30th, day before Memorial Day. Never mind. I'll get to you after the show. Is Double or Nothing. But Dalton, before we get to Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
There was a thing we were supposed to do last week that we ran out of time. It was May 19th. It was a special holiday.
Yes.
So we had to postpone it.
Yeah.
But I want to take you back.
Okay.
To just two Sundays ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or last Sunday. Whatever it was. It doesn't matter. But there was a little event called WrestleMania Backlash.
Damn it. I forgot.
I know you did, buddy. But I didn't. And see, I didn't because I am the winner. Yeah. I am the victor. Uh-huh. So what I'm going to do is in my benevolence, I'm going to give you an option.
Okay.
We can either do 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I was going to do.
Sorry. Oh, I see what you're doing.
We're either going to do, it's going to be 45 seconds. Because I was going to do a minute, but I was like, you know what? That's a little much. You know, I don't like being complimented in general. So this is hard for me. I need you to know that. We can do 45 seconds now on the show where you record it. Or
mm-hmm.
I will cut it to 15 seconds
uh-huh.
if we do it in person
uh-huh.
and I can Facebook Live it then.
So this would be Sunday that I'd have to do it?
It would either be Saturday, Sunday, or Monday. Just one of the days that I end up seeing you this weekend.
So I assumed it was Double or Nothing, which was going to be that you were going to wave it this time if we did a predictions game, and if you beat me again, I was going to have to go for 2 minutes.
No, we're not waving anything.
Okay, fair enough.
I am not, it's Double or Nothing. I am not a gambler. I understand, you know, the house always wins. We know this. I'm not.
I'm cool.
I'm keeping my win. I won. I'm keeping that win. So.
All right, fair enough. So. I'm cool with doing 15 seconds on the Podzilla Facebook Live sometime this weekend.
Okay, so we'll do that. Yeah. We'll do that. So we'll go into the AEW. Again, this is not where the prediction game is strictly for WWE stuff. This is just we're going to preview the card because I'm excited for it and it's my show. We talk about what I want to talk about. It was announced that on the pre-show, the kickoff show, whatever they're calling it,
is the buy-in.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The NWA World Women's Championship. Is going to be defended as Serena Deeb defends against Rhea. Speak of the devil. Oh, excuse me. That match is going to be awesome.
This match is going to be stupid.
So good. We also have, just running through real quick, the AEW World Tag Team Championships will be defended as the Young Bucks defend against the team of Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston. It'll be a fun match. I like all four of these guys. I don't like them coming out to Wild Thing. It's not clicking for me, but that's a personal thing. Either way, I'm excited for it. There is going to be a tag match as Sting teams up with his emo daddy.
Emo son.
Darby Allin teaming up with his emo daddy, Sting, taking on Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. And we haven't really gotten a chance to talk about this, but I will say I am very disappointed that they teamed Sky with Page for two reasons. One, SCU was a phenomenal, and I really liked Sky's heel turn. So I would, if they're going to put him with the tag team, I would have rather them just turn SCU.
Yeah.
And let him team there. Or if he was going to turn heel, let him go solo. Reason number two is Ethan Page and Josh Alexander, the North, are legit one of my favorite tag teams. Like, they've cracked probably my top 10, potentially my top 5 favorite tag teams. They worked so well together. They were so entertaining. And for Ethan Page to leave Josh Alexander to just start another tag team bums me out personally. Because yeah. I was really kind of hoping to see a Ethan Page, you know, solo run. But again, there's only so many spots. There's only so much time on the show. Your roster can only be so big. I get it. You're at least doing something with them.
Some ego is better than no ego.
But I would prefer all ego.
That's fair, yeah. I'm happy I fed that to you perfectly.
You did. You teed it up. I knocked it out of the park. A little over an hour long show. We got one good moment in.
Yeah. Hey,
we're killing it. Stadium Stampede match. And if the Inner Circle lose, they must disband as a team forever. It is the Pinnacle versus the Inner Circle. MJF, Wardlow, Sean Spears, Cash Wheeler, and Dax Harwood against Chris Jericho, Jake Hager, Sammy Guevara, Santana, and Ortiz. Those matches are fun, and apparently this isn't just going to be a cinematic style like last year's.
Ah, that's such a bummer.
But you got to keep in mind, this is a full capacity crowd.
Yeah, so you don't want them looking at a screen. I get it.
Right, so that makes sense. Oh, bless you, Wikipedia. The AEW TNT Championship. Because again, there was no AEW tonight. We still have a full episode to go on Friday. That it's going to air Friday Night Live. So, but Miro is defending the title against Dante Martin on Friday. So the Wikipedia listing is Miro or Dante Martin versus Lance Archer. That's going to be a hoss fight. And that match alone is enough to get me to want to buy this pay-per-view. Because yeah. One, you know, I am a stupid, stupid Miro friggin' fanatic. Like yeah. Really my dream wave 7 would just be 6 Miros. But him in a Kip Sabian 2-pack with an arcade cabinet as a prop. I buy 2 of them. I open one of those. I'll do it.
I don't believe you.
I'll do it. I'm not scared. I'll do it. I can say that because it's not going to happen, but I'll...
Yeah, because you wouldn't do it.
Oh, I absolutely would. You don't know me. I will open this warthog still behind me right now. We have... I lost my place. Singles match. There you go. Hangman Adam Page versus Brian Cage, which we might see Christian Cage get involved because he's been feuding with Team Taz as well. But that's also going to be a fun match. Again, I'll watch Hangman wrestle anybody.
Oh, God, that's so good.
The Casino Battle Royal for a future AEW World Championship match. Christian Cage, Matt Sydal, Powerhouse Hobbs, Penta El Zero Miedo, Jungle Boy, Matt Hardy, Mark Quinn, Isaiah Cassidy, Blade, Evil Uno, Colt Cabana, Preston Vance, Griff Garrison, Brian Pillman Jr., Max Caster, Anthony Bowens, QT Marshall, Nick Comoroto, Dustin Rhodes, Lee Johnson, and a surprise entrant. We don't know. That's always usually a fun surprise. So I'm curious who it could be. I don't know if it's going to be a new signing. I don't know if it's going to be someone returning. Either way, sure, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
The match I am most looking forward to the least, I could just say the match I'm least looking forward to. Not because I don't like both of these guys, but because the build has been hot garbage. Cody Rhodes versus Anthony Ogogo in a singles match. The hyper patriot build for Cody Rhodes is stupid. And especially when you have Anthony on the other side, like, making valid criticisms. Like, do you think America's the only free country? Like, that's stupid. AEW Women's World Championship will be defended as Shida on not the 1-year anniversary, but the same pay-per-view she won the title, defending the title against Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, with Rebel, not Reba, in her corner. Again, very excited for that match. Kind of think Britt Baker doesn't win.
I hope she does.
I think that story is too perfect. So I think they might kind of, you know, do a little trick on us, and then she wins it, you know,
at the next one.
Not even at the next pay-per-view, but on TV.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah.
We have and then the main event will be undoubtedly AEW World Title match as Kenny Omega defends against both Orange Cassidy and the Bastard Pac in a triple threat match. Again, that's going to be stupid. Like, I love all three of those guys. I've become such a big Orange Cassidy fan.
Please,
in the last 2 years of AEW.
AEW, make me put the belt, my action figure belt, on my action figure Orange Cassidy. It's not going to happen, but make me do it.
This is another one of those instances where I really don't think there is any chance that Kenny Omega loses this match, but I absolutely believe that they're going to make me think that he will.
Yeah.
I think all three of these guys are good enough that they will actually make me think, oh, maybe something does happen here.
Yeah.
So,
and it's Kenny Omega. It's super important that we're leaving out the fact that it's Kenny Omega who can make anybody look like they're going to win at any time. And then you have just Orange Cassidy that's just entertaining to watch. And then you have Pac, who is so goddamn good.
That's stupid.
Yeah. It's stupid. Like,
so, but hey, Double or Nothing this Sunday. Be sure to check it out. CCW, if you're here in the area, is going to be on Saturday at the AC Braze Arena with Malevolence, which I just think is a cool show name. That's going to do it. That is Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Be on the lookout for our Facebook Live video as Dalton gets on his hands and knees and grovels and tells me how great I am. But until then, if you want to give him a little bit of a morale boost, hit up PWT, Pro Wrestling. Why do I keep wanting to abbreviate it? ProWrestlingTees.com/DaltonAnthony. Get you one of them Dalton Anthony t-shirts. And then, of course, you can follow me on Twitter and Twitch. Both are at The5StarMan. Well, I guess Twitch isn't. That's twitch.tv/The5StarMan and twitter.com/The5StarMan with that number 5, of course. And then, yeah, be on the lookout. Was there anything else you wanted to plug, promote, get in, get your shit in?
Sammy Guevara will be the first Triple Crown winner of AEW.
That's right. We forgot to do the question of the week last week. I asked, who do you think the first Triple Crown Grand Slam champion of AEW will be? You think it's going to be Sammy Guevara?
I think it could be Sammy Guevara.
Bold choice to pick someone who has won 0 titles, although they have years to, you know, it could be years down the road before someone actually manages to pick it up.
There's only one person that has to only get one, but there's so many that has to get 2. So it's very up in the air.
Oh yeah, it's super up in the air. Also, it's worth noting for anybody who's wondering, we are considering, if you missed last week or, you know, just aren't aware, AEW World title, TNT title, and the tag team titles. The Diamond Ring and the FTW title, we are not counting as part of this. So I think it's going to be Hangman. I really think it's going to be Hangman. I think that is who they are. I think they recognize that, like, Cody and Kenny are very much the now, but I do think that they are paving the way to have Hangman be the face of the company long-term going forward.
Yeah.
I will say close second is Darby.
Oh, and then
third, Dark Horse, Miro.
Yeah,
because I think he's and again this is just me completely, you know, I hate to use this term just because I think it's a stupid term, but like this is me marking, like, being just a huge Miro mark.
Yeah,
of just like, I could absolutely imagine you building a company around him, like he's,
and you could with his level of talent, you very easily could.
Yeah, so I think it's just a matter of time. So, but there's a lot of good. I think Sammy's also a good guess. I think that's an interesting guess because that is also someone else that I kind of see them very clearly investing in long term. MJF too. Like, MJF is someone that, even though he hasn't had any titles yet, he very well could end up being, you know, a Triple Crown.
Yeah, if I'm picking somebody that's already had belts, Kenny, because he's 2/3 of the way there.
He's the closest, yeah.
Yeah, but if you're just like, who do you think would be, and somebody doesn't have any belts, Sam Guevara is the first person I think of.
And honestly, like, I would not, even though right now Kenny's doing great as a heel and Miro is really catching his groove as the big monster heel, it would make a ton of sense for Kenny Omega to, like, as he's going through this, like, belt collector Thanos shtick of just, like, you know what? There is a title here that I don't have. I want this one, too. And then he could go after that one. Like,
yeah,
you could book that story. So, but that's going to do it for us. We will be back here next Wednesday, same time, same place, facebook.com/podzilla1985. If you want to watch along with us, or, you know, of course, wherever you're listening to us as a podcast right now, we gave you the plugs for Dalton's t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/DaltonAnthony. And then Thursday, P PZ85 After Dark will be back. Horse Time on Friday. Come hang out with the CCW crew, some of the CCW crew, or PZ85 crew at CCW on Saturday. And then Monday, nerd up again. Start everything all back over. And yeah, it'll be a good time. So thank you to everybody for hanging out in the chat. Thank you for everybody listening to us later on down the line. You mean the world to us. We appreciate the hell right out of you. You have a great week. Be safe. Take care of each other. We will talk to you very, very soon.